The security challenges the U.S. confronts are spread across the globe and are as complex as any the country has faced since infancy. That's from the introduction to a new book called Rise of the Revisionists, Russia, China, and Iran, which looks at the threats posed by those countries and how the U.S. could respond. Gary Schmidt is the editor and a contributing author of the book. He's a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and co-director of the Marilyn Ware Center for Security Studies there. And Gary, how much of where we find ourselves now is because of American policy and actions, and how much was sort of out of our control?
Well, I think one of the key points of the book is actually to challenge the view that the competition that we face in these three areas in Europe and Asia and Europe from Russia, China, and Iran are caused by U.S. actions. And the truth is these are countries and governments that have their own ambitions, and their particular ambitions are to revise the existing order. So it's less of what we've done in recent years than more what they want to accomplish.
Do you think that any of these other countries' interests are in any way in line with the U.S. interests?
Yes and no. China, for example, is a good example of being mixed. China's growth in terms of its ability to improve its economy, improve the standard of living for its people, is directly tied to the Western economic model that the U.S. helped put in place after World War II. So in that sense, it really does have an interest in maintaining that kind of model and availability of our markets. On the other hand, part of China's history is to reclaim its empire, and that means being aggressive in certain parts of the world. So it's a mixed bag when it comes to China in particular.
Is that common? I mean, it seems as though, to an outsider anyway, that part of foreign policy is finding out where your interests can mix with someone else's interests and trying to use those to maybe dissuade another country from doing something that you don't want them to do.
Yeah. I mean, again, you have to set priorities. So there would be a variety of interests that overlap. Sometimes we've had congruence of interests with Russia, for example, when it comes to Islamic terrorism. The real issue becomes how you prioritize those interests.
Since the end of the Cold War, the U.S. has often been described as the world's lone superpower. Do you still find that to be the case?
Well, we're still the dominant power. We don't have the relative power that we once had after the end of the Cold War. China's power has grown, both economically, diplomatically, and militarily. Russia has regained some of its power, although it's not nearly as healthy as it might be. And Iran's not a healthy state at all, but it's been able to use the recent influx of resources to build up its military capacity, and it's used that new capacity to be much more aggressive in the Middle East. So relative to the world as a whole, the U.S. power has declined, but we're still, along with our allies, way more dominant than not.
There's been a lot of talk and a lot written recently about sort of America's role with the world and the U.S. engaging with some countries like North Korea and disengaging in some areas, like, for example, the Paris climate talks. I'm wondering how you reconcile some of that and sort of where you put the U.S. On the world stage relative to where it's maybe pulling back a little bit and where it's maybe engaging in areas where it hasn't been engaged for a little while.
Well, let me step back a little bit even further. We've had this advantage because of our power and our basically liberal outlook about the world as a whole that's allowed us to maintain a set of alliances that surround the Eurasian landmass. And one of the things that's happened over the last decade in particular is in both the current administration and the previous administration, there's been something of a let's bring America home. I understand why that's the case. The problem is that if you withdraw from the world, since we are the dominant power, what happens is there's more complexity and ambiguity in the security realm. And for the short term, it might work out, but over the long term, it allows more ambitious states like Russia and Iran and China to take advantage of that situation. And there's a cost to be paid down the road for that.
Well, it sounds like you subscribe to the notion that if the U.S. is not engaged in certain areas and on certain policies, it kind of leaves a vacuum for other countries to step in, and we might not be so happy with the results of that.
Yeah, that's putting it directly. And I would say that that kind of policy doesn't mean that, of course, that you're not going to make mistakes. One of the difficulties in American statecraft is when we don't succeed, that we not take that lack of success as the rule for the whole diplomacy and military effort. We have to make judgments about where's the best place to be and what we can do. But on the other hand, not succeeding all the time shouldn't lead us to withdraw altogether.
Do you find that when the U.S. is looking to deal with some of these countries, you write about Russia, China, and Iran, are we generally on the same page as our traditional allies in how to deal with these countries?
Well, yes and no. When it comes to Europe, for example, there's little interest in dealing with the security problems that China presents to us and our allies in the Pacific. They just don't have a dog in that fight. When it comes to Russia, I've been relatively happy and surprised by the degree to which Europe has been willing to step forward and impose sanctions and do some things on the military front that nobody would have expected them to do a few years ago. On Iran, obviously, given the headlines, that's a much more difficult process. But again, if you step back and looked at a few years ago, the U.S. was able to bring European allies and Asian allies together, along with Russia and China, to make an effort to squeeze Iran sufficiently that it came to a deal with about its nuclear program.
All right. Gary Schmidt is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he's co-director of the Marilyn Ware Center for Security Studies. He's also editor and a contributing author of Rise of the Revisionists, Russia, China, and Iran. Gary, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.